Burn that rubber like I'm Michelin. Five star food that I dish to them. Chef sat on when I whip in the kitchen, and I switch suits like I'm Mr. Ben.
10-10 gear, I shift up to fifth. Blues in the rear and I'm swerving the mains like Tokyo Drift. Took a shot, but he missed. Then made love to the grin and kissed
the curb. What's the word? I dodge your case, so I flip the bird. Grab the bin, get back to work. Then I'm switching lanes and I flex out
hurt. I'll hurt him. One thing's for sure and two things for certain. When he gets made and the pecs I'm serving him. Mess with a cake and I bet him a burger.
Welcome back to the What Will Fergie Do podcast. I am your host, Olu Jimmy, joined today by Mr. Francis.
Yo, yo.
And the man who loves to introduce himself.
Of course, Mr. Maestro here, Dr. Maestro here, Dr. Raman here. Yeah, you know what? Let me keep it to those names today.
I was going to say, yo, he had a rough run, innit?
You know what? Let me actually start this point by acknowledging my boy over here. I have never seen someone be right and wrong at the same time. Francis, now, remember he gave two predictions and both of them came true.
No, I don't think so, no. He said we're going to win.
He said we would win 2-1, I believe, if somebody plays, or if Scott plays, I think, and then we would lose 3-1 if Eriksen won. The caveat, obviously, was fraudulent. Like, that's not what I was talking about. Oh. It was more so just the fact that we actually went 2-1 up in a goal that should have stood, and then ended up losing the game 3-1, which is quite a feat. So I'd like to, tip my cap to Lollipop.
Well, we're going into details of the game.
Oh, no, rude.
Just a quick recap. The game ended Arsenal 3, United 1. A goal from Rashford. I felt that goal was kind of like not against the play, because I felt like Arsenal was...
That was actually not against the play.
Anyways. We'll discuss. You guys will tell us what you thought about the game. Against the play, like, good goal. And then we considered immediately right after. I think that kind of happened to us last season. The game we lost 3-2 to Arsenal. I don't know why. Like, you could see that goal coming a mile away. Like, you could see it. Like, but anyways. And then the game was kind of like up and down. And then a couple of subs were made in the second half. And we considered from a corner. Declan Rice was wide open. Actually, fun fact, I don't know if it was by design, because I was listening to Tifo afterwards, and we actually left Declan Rice open in all the corners they are taking. The only difference is that I think at the time made an adjustment in the second half, and then they started blocking off some of the players, which is how they got the
which
second
is called goal. A foul, but
I don't know if that's a foul, man. Be strong, Evans, and push him away. Let the referee make a decision. And then
about a penalty, or make a decision about VAR.
No, about the foul. You said it's a foul.
Yeah.
About blocking the defenders.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that happens in every corner. Like, you just have to be strong enough to push.
No. That doesn't happen in every corner.
But anyways, and then Jesus scored the final goal. And that's all she wrote. I think I don't even know what I think about the game. Like, I feel like the game could have gone either way because of the Sancho offside, which I don't think is an offside, by the way.
Not Sancho. Garnacho.
No, sorry. Garnacho is what I meant. But all in all, we lost, as usual, away to Arsenal. I think we haven't won at Arsenal, like, in a while. I can't remember what the record is, but we haven't won at Arsenal in a while. So I guess that continues. I also think an ETH away record is something we will probably have to discuss at some point, but... Francis, I'll come to you first. What was your thoughts on the game?
It was a good game to watch. I think both teams played well. They had different spells of control and possession and attacking intent. I think in some spells, Arsenal was the better team. In some spells, United was the better team. I think if that goal had gone in, or the offside goal for Garnacho had gone in, it would have been a different conversation. I think the game would have been closed out. But no, everyone can. When you lose, you look for reasons why you lost, like the offside goal, the potential penalty on Haaland, the free kick, Johnny Evans, and stuff like that. But
Wasn't that like a push on Hoyland?
I thought it was a push. He was guarding.
Yeah, I think. Well, I don't think it's a push. I think it was just more of a like he was guarding instead of guarding the ball, and then they kind of.
What does that mean? Guarding.
Yeah, you said push. I don't think it was pushing. Like it just rested him to the ground. I guess I'm just arguing semantics here.
But I don't understand your argument. Like, if it's not, how do you wrestle someone to the ground if you're not pushing him?
The act of pushing means you're actually doing. Like, you get what I'm trying to say?
No.
So it's wrestling someone to the ground. Anyways.
I think maybe you're talking about like the different type of contact, like push. You extend your arms away from.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that's not push.
So if you look at the replay, he had his hand across him and pushed him to the ground.
That's why I said push.
Yeah, so that's why I don't understand what Jibola was saying when he said.
I'm arguing semantics. My interpretation was that it wasn't a push; it was more of a rest to the ground. You're saying it's a push. Does that make sense? Well, I'm not saying it's not like it can't be a foul. I'm just saying like I'm just arguing the fact that I don't think it was a push. I think it was just more of a rest to the ground.
Okay, so do you think it was a foul?
No, I think it would have been soft if it was given a penalty. Just like I thought.
So is wrestling to the ground a foul?
It depends. Like for me personally, I think threshold for penalties should be higher than free kicks. I said that to last season. So if you're not going to give the Averts a penalty, I don't think that should be a penalty too either. Like I don't think both of them are penalties.
Wait. There was no contact for Havertz now.
No, I get that, but me, I still don't think the Haaland one was a Haaland was a penalty either for Gabriel. I think he should be stronger there too as well.
But you just said he was wrestled.
You said he was wrestled around.
Yeah, but like I don't have to explain. Like both of them had their arms around each other. Is what I saw. Is my point. Like
Haaland didn't have his arm around him.
Okay. Again, we're seeing two different things. You asked me, do I think it's a penalty? My answer is, I don't think it's a penalty. And then, if you think it's a penalty, it's a penalty.
No, it's not the thinking. It's just I'm trying to understand why you don't think it's a penalty. And the reasons you're giving sounds like it should be a penalty.
No, I feel like the threshold for a penalty should be higher than the threshold for a free kick. That's why I don't think it's a penalty.
Okay, so if that happened outside the box, would it be a free kick?
It would be a free kick, yes. But that's a free kick compared to a penalty, where a free kick, your conversion rate on a free kick versus a penalty. Like, I feel like the penalty, if it's a penalty, is almost a goal, which is why I feel like the threshold
should be higher. I think we'll try and understand something first. There's no gray or foul. It's black or white. Right?
Yeah, but there's also...
If that was outside the box...
Why some of those things are not... Black and white.
No, so if that was outside the box, would you have given a foul?
Yeah, I might have given a foul as a ref.
So it is a foul.
Yes.
But then now it's inside the box. You are saying it is not a big enough foul.
Yes.
Okay, I understand what you're saying now. I don't agree with it, but I understand. Back to what I was saying, anyways. I thought it was a big foul in the sense that he had his arm across him and it stopped him from running and then put his whole weight on Hoyland and fell on him. So that way he obstructed him from doing anything. But it's either here or there. It has happened. We lost the game. It is what it is. The game went a weird way in the sense of, the defenders that we had, like Lindelof and Martinez, I think they started off very well with Onana as well. But you could tell that maybe there was something missing. And I just actually realized that Lindelof was sick and he played sick. And that's why they substituted him after. And then Martinez got injured. Now, you look at our bench, we're bringing on Maguire and then we're bringing on Johnny Evans. And once we brought on those two people, I mean, Maguire didn't really have a bad game, but I think for that corner kick Rice had scored, I thought he could have done better. Once the ball came to Rice, I thought he was in the position to rush out and make it more difficult for Rice. But he was just standing there, just looking. But it is what it is. They scored the goal.
Do you think Onana should have done more?
Um, I The first time I looked at it, I thought Onana should have done better. But secondly, it was a deflection. So that probably might have changed his angle of punching the ball and whatnot. But regardless, it kind of sounds odd saying this, and I don't want to compare or like to compare. I have a feeling the girl have punched that. I don't. Again, the girl's not here. But you know what? I think the girl makes those kind of saves.
I don't know. I came to.
To be fair, I thought about that initially too. But then when I now saw the deflection, I'm like, okay. Like I thought, like initially when they go winning, I was like, that girl would save that.
I don't blame him at all for the.
Those
are the kind of goals that De Gea conceded, and I think that's why when it happened for me, it almost gave me like PTSD, because he almost looked like De Gea in that moment. I think
De Gea concedes easier goals. That one was a little bit hard. The goals that De Gea concedes are like easy goals where like every keeper will save something like this. And he goes out to pull out a world in something difficult. In that situation, I think, you know, the deflection totally changes everything Onana had in mind.
His body position,
his diving, his timing, where he places his hand, you know, it's a bunch of stuff. It's just a game of football, man. We went chasing the game. The one person player that I would point out that I think had a not so, like, he had a bad game, I'll be very honest. I think Rashford had a bad game. Rashford was probably one of the most annoying players to watch in that game. I'll explain why he had a bad game. Rashford is a very selfish player, and I think I put this in the group chat. And it comes with its pros and cons, because, you know, you can take things on yourself and want to individual brilliance and want to do things. But in the way we're playing and what ETH is trying to achieve, I think we need wingers that are that have the ability to provide for people, not always wanting to do things yourself. And the example I'm going to give is the transition that we had where I think it was Hoyland that won the ball in the middle of the park. It was Casemiro. Casemiro won it, gave it to Eriksen. Then Eriksen found Hoyland and Rashford. And Rashford was running. He had Hoyland with him and he had Anthony with him. And Rashford just kept on running. He did this two or three times. And Hoyland, if you notice his runs, he's running with so much power and so much energy that if you put the ball in the right place for him, he's most likely going to beat the defender that is running with pace, right? And I think, again, it might be too early to form, you know, a partnership or a bond between these players, especially with Hoyland and the team. But this is a trait I've seen with Rashford ever since he was playing. And I don't know if it's something he can get rid of anytime soon. And the reason I'm saying this now and I'm saying this early is because if it gets to a point where people are saying Hoyland is not scoring or is getting frustrated, Rashford and Anthony to an extent will be the biggest reasons for this, because they don't create enough or they don't try to create enough. They always want to do things themselves. So
I think that's by design. I think the goal that we scored through Rashford is by design. I think Rashford, his responsibility in the team, first and foremost, is a goal scorer, in my opinion, right? I think Anthony's responsibility is both. He's more of and he's obviously less creative because he's not showing a propensity to use his right leg at all. But I also just feel like Rashford that's been his responsibility so far, right? So what you're asking him to I'm asking him to make a change when we now have Hoyland. And I think we probably should talk about Hoyland, because in a lot of ways, if that was Martial we were talking about, you don't have that same opinion. Or like we are not as mad, I guess, by what Rashford is doing. So I think you also have to consider that Rashford is actually the primary responsible goal scorer in our team. Like the primary goal scorer in terms of the responsibility. And then it's been everybody else. You can maybe add Bruno into that list as well. So maybe that's why.
Yeah, I see what you mean, but I think you have to find the balance. There's obviously the confidence that comes with having scored X amount of goals. You think you can do this by yourself. But there's the selflessness that comes with, okay, this guy is in a better position. Why don't I feed him? If I eat or if everybody eats, I eat. Like, if that's the mentality I think we should all have, or Rashford should be cultivating with this team. Because you can't have a striker that is making runs 100 and 100. Look at Rashford. Anytime he makes runs when he's playing number 9 and they don't find a run, you see how frustrated he is. And he feels like he's not even in the game at all. That's how Rashford plays when he's not in a striking position, because he wants to do things by himself. And Garnacho plays the same way too. Garnacho wants to beat everybody, then try and find the goal. The only person I think that is the first thing in his mind is to create is Bruno Fernandes. And Eriksen to a point when he's more advanced, right? So this is something that I've noticed before, and I said it even before Haaland joined this team. If that guy has to succeed, everybody has to be a part of the support system. And that includes our wingers, Rashford, Garnacho, and Anthony. They need to provide for this boy.
Sancho.
Yeah, Sancho. Well. Sancho has not really played now. Like, yes, Sancho's case is a wild card. But talking about Haaland specifically, I liked what I saw from the boy. Like, you could see the difference in having a number 9 when he joined. Tells you how far
I think
down Martial has fallen.
Yes, that's the thing. That's what's
like Martial is pretty much useless in a game. When Haaland came on, you could tell that Gabriel was worried, because all the balls that came into the Arsenal's attacking area, Gabriel did not win any of them. Haaland put his body there, held it up, brought people into the game. When it came to running in behind Gabriel, he was quicker than him. So from just the first 20, 30 minutes I saw on this boy, I was pretty impressed. I saw hunger. I saw drive. I saw someone that is not scared. And you need that mentality. You see, when we were about to play a corner kick, that Casemiro went to him and held his shirt. Like, yo, you know, like, let's go. You know, that kind of thing. And the girl's like, yo, I'm up for this shit. If it's Martial, he probably would have broken his neck bone when Casemiro did something like that.
God!
You know, so
I was waiting for that dismount.
it's something I'm looking forward to, and I'm excited. You know, long story short, the Arsenal game, I wasn't mad at the result. I wasn't mad at the result. I was mad at the end score, but I wasn't mad at the game, because I thought it was there for the taking. Like, we could. It could easily have gone, you know, the other way if we had scored. And United actually played very well. You know, we actually played very well. So our team would improve. Mount will come in. Amrabat will come in. Varane might or might not come in. You know, Martinez will come back. Up and up. I just hope the chirping and the side distraction that is happening, you know, at the club internally does not integrate the team or disintegrate the team. That's my biggest fear. If he loses the dressing room, you know, with all this prima donna bullshit happening outside, we're going to be in serious trouble. But if the management support him, and he has the authority to do what he wants to do with these players, I think we might be fine.
El Maestro, I think you've, I guess I don't know if you want to talk about the game in general, but I think I'll probably want to specifically hear what you think about what you think about the fact that our midfield is still like, just looks like it's still bare, if that makes sense.
No, I thought our midfield was we went up against like a pretty good midfield, right?
Like, I guess that's my point. Like, if you compare our midfield to the people we're supposed to be competing against, I guess is my point. So I don't mean like.
But I don't feel like Arsenal's midfield outplayed us. I don't feel so. I felt like Bruno outplayed Odegaard and even like Rice to a certain extent. I thought Rice was probably the best of their midfield.
And just keep in mind also, they didn't have Partey too, I guess. I guess we don't have
Mount. Yeah, but Partey doesn't start in midfield for them. I mean, he ends up in midfield, but he plays right back. The midfield three that played was their starting midfield, right? So for me, it's like I thought this was again, you know, this game, like, it made me, I was so upset afterwards, but not because of the performance. Bro, I was beside myself, man. It was around the time I was about to fly. I would just like forget for like 5 minutes, and then I would just be like, fuck. I would just remember again after like another 10 minutes. Ah, man, nah, we shouldn't have lost this game. But, you know, again, the performance I thought was, it wasn't the best. And when you like you mentioned about the Tifo video, for example, like when you watch some of, you know, what happened in the game, I think it was an even game. And, you know, those are won by the slimmest of margins. We haven't gotten to this, but that Garnacho offside is not an offside. Like, we talked a little bit about the penalty, which is one thing. We talked about the foul that was called in the lead up to the Arsenal goal, the Rice goal.
Johnny Evans, yeah. Foul on Johnny Evans.
We talked, but like that offside, Nabi, come on. I don't know what lines they are using to, like, which ruler are you using to draw these lines? What ruler are you using? I don't understand. Like, where are you deciding that the moment of offside begins? Where are you even deciding? Initially, when I saw it, I thought to myself, no, that doesn't look right. I thought maybe, okay, like, am I tripping? And then I went online, and then you see, like, it's not, even ETH came out and said he doesn't, that's not an offside. So for me, it's like, yeah, I don't know. That was kind of odd, would be the way that I would put it. That line, it's just odd. So for me, you score that goal, maybe you don't win the game, but you're in a much better position. And I think overall, as much as that game hurts, you know, I think when the international break rolls around, we'll probably have more players that are coming back. Maino might be back.
Who's coming? Okay, I was going to ask, who's coming back after the break?
Yeah,
Mount might looks like it's longer, right?
No, I thought it was short as longer.
Sure, it's longer.
I meant sure.
So we'll have Mount, Maino, Amrabat. Martinez traveled to Argentina, eh?
Oh, okay.
So you travel with the squad. I think they're going to do some assessment when he's there.
Yeah.
I guess it also depends on the people who actually play for their respective countries to see how, like, they come back too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that also matters. But I don't know if Martinez, if he's not up to... I mean, the fact that he traveled means that it might not be that bad. But he's had, like, a couple of injury things here to start the season. You know, that first game of the season where he came off at like halftime or something that we thought was a yellow card, but was actually an injury. And then this game as well too. So we'll see. But yeah, I think, and then when you looked at even the way we played in this game, you can see the difference in the way that Arsenal had to play us in terms of even us getting the ball out. And you can see the impact that Onana is having now. Like, some of those passes that he was trying, they didn't always work, especially in the first half when he was trying to go to the wings. But you can just see that teams are trying to play him differently. You could see Casemiro dropping a little further down to come and get the ball so that it forms like three people at the back. And then you think, okay, if that's Amrabat, for example, does he even need to drop that deep?
right? And does that push Casemiro further? So if Amrabat comes in and we have Casemiro and Amrabat, then Casemiro might end up playing an eight, you know? So there are more options that we have. You also think about Mino coming back. I'm not saying that he's going to be a game changer for us, but that's another player that isn't Scott McTominay or Donny van der Beek that we can at least say, okay, let's see what he can bring to the table, because based on the early indication, it looks good. So for me, it's like, obviously going into, we've lost two games to start the season, which is not ideal. And these, the away game struggles that you talked about as well, when we think of, you know, was like, this is another loss that we've had. I think we lost, the only place we didn't lose last season in the top, against the top 10 was Tottenham or something like that. And so we started out these two away games losing against two of our rivals. And so I think that's something that we have to look at and something that we need to address. And just ETH and the coaching staff, I don't think they've had the best start to the season.
I agree with you.
Transfers and all that stuff being a little late towards the end. But yeah, I think they need to regroup and figure out what they're doing.
Isn't that the story of United? We bring in Amrabat that has been there all this while, just in time for him not to be ready for Arsenal game. A game that you might actually need someone like that.
I don't even know if they've registered him. They've not even given him.
Yeah, he hasn't registered, yeah. Like, so it's just, like I said, it's every now and then, every time we try and forget how incompetent this organization is, they just find a way to remind us. But like I said, as much as I wasn't happy about the results, but I think watching Højlund in this game actually gave me like hope, and I guess it's the hope that kills you. But
finish what you're going to say.
I was going to say he offers us something that we haven't seen in a while. And I can't even remember the last time we actually had someone like that. Would you say, even I don't think Lukaku was this, because Lukaku didn't have the touch that Højlund seems to have. I can't remember. Man, like, what was the last time we actually had a proper number nine?
Cavani.
Yeah, Cavani would probably be the closest thing, I guess. Cavani had touch. Number nine. Yeah.
Oh, to a number nine that we've had.
Mm. Yeah, that we can rely on.
Ibrahimovic now.
Oh.
Yeah. I was thinking but Cavani was after Ibrahimovic. So I was like, would I go Cavani before? Would Cavani be the last or is Ibra the last?
I think the three pure number nines that we've had, we were able to rely on them to an extent. It's Zlatan, we relied on him, and I think, well. Lukaku's first season, we relied on him very well. That guy scored like 24 goals. Yeah,
that's true. But I'm saying in terms of the complete package, this guy, Højlund seems to have the speed.
We've not had a complete package. Yeah, striker, and he has all of them have been in the 35-year range or some shit.
So watching him, which is one of the reasons why I actually wanted to go back and watch that second half, just because I wanted to see Højlund, I wanted to see how he played. So I think watching him in that game actually gave me if we can just have Francis Toucher, if we can have wingers who actually will look for him when he makes those runs, because that's one thing that you see when it comes to City and Holland is that almost everybody are always looking for him at every point in time, right? If it's Grealish, if it's KDB, even Foden to an extent, everyone looks for him first and then they do something else afterwards. So hopefully that's something for the coaching staff and ETH that they can actually work on in training. But I think the international break will probably give them more time, because I don't think Højlund, did Højlund get called up? Do we know?
Yeah, he gets called up for Denmark. I don't know how much time the international break will give them, because these guys are gone. They probably come back on a Wednesday and then we have a game on Saturday. Yeah. So it might give them time to do some paperwork. And
this is when you wish you had Fergie. All of them, somebody would just come back with injury, from injury.
You know what's funny? I actually thought that was one of the reasons why Martinez dropped. But when I read that he had gone to Argentina, I'm like, okay, that doesn't make sense then. Because all these players were just dropping like flies in the space of 15 minutes. I thought it was tied to international break. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully, ETH goes into that side of things. But other than that, like I said, it's It's what it is, man. Like I wasn't so surprised at the result because it seems like we've lost away to Arsenal. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
I think Hoyland is going to get a lot of time. I think I read somewhere or saw something about Gary Neville saying he's going to be under a lot of pressure. I think he's going to get a lot of time because, again, I we talked about this when we talked about him a little bit. Is if he looks the part, people will forgive him if he doesn't score early. Like you see already, you guys are saying, oh, I'm looking at Rashford, I'm looking at Anthony. Like you guys need to do better, right? Like I feel like that's going to be the consensus. I also think he's going to score because I almost wonder if Bruno is going to be his biggest assist as opposed to coming from the wings. Because the way he plays, where he drops in, you can see like situations where he can hold the ball up long enough to give it to Bruno and then circle around the person that is trying to mark him and just run in behind. And like you said with Gabriel, like, he was already struggling with the pace. So imagine some other people that have to deal with that
pace.
Yeah, so I think you might see a lot of Bruno. I also think the type of goal he's more likely to score is the kind of assist that Rashford can provide. So that assist that Rashford gave Eriksen, where Eriksen is running almost to the near post,
yep,
and Rashford can just cross real quick and he can beat his man to it. So I think you also see those type of chances more so than the long cutback. I think if you get into a situation where Rashford is not running towards the byline, he's not trying to assist this guy. I think if he runs towards the byline, then he can. That's the cutback that you might then see, as opposed to those, like the one that Odegaard scored. I don't think you'll see too many of those ones for what's his name for Hoyland. But yeah, very very like. And just the energy too, you know, just the energy and like the determination. Like, nah, I think he's going to be good for us. I think he's going to be good for us.
Yeah. I think that's all. We've covered everything regarding that game. We've already talked about the offside. I think none of us here think that was an offside. Does anyone disagree?
No.
Yeah, but let's move on.
One thing I want to say is though, okay, Garnacho is a very good finisher of the ball.
Oh yeah, calm. Actually, funny enough, like when I saw him 1-on-1, like for some reason I just thought like I knew he was gonna finish that ball. It's just
and something random. The boot he was wearing was the same boot Ronaldo wore against Arsenal at Emirates in the Champions League.
Really?
He's a big fan of Ronaldo.
Exactly. When we're wearing that blue jersey.
Yeah.
He was wearing the same boot that Ronaldo wore for that game.
It seems like they are.
He's a huge Ronaldo fan, though. Like, I think he said it too.
Yeah. To me, I always wonder, like, do you see, there are lots of footballers that actually idolize Ronaldo. I feel like you hear more, especially the bigger footballers. I almost feel like you hear more about.
I think it also has to do with the fact that Ronaldo also has like more flair than Messi. Messi is a little bit more subdued in terms of his. Does that make sense? He's great.
You mean in like football?
You mean
like
football flair or lifestyle?
No,
flair?
I mean like lifestyle, like in general. Okay, like that. Like, and that's one of the things that gets his young players right. Because if you think about it, right?
That's true.
That's why.
Like Garnacho wears CR7 briefs. Like it's just a weird thing, and he'll post it, you know. Like I think Ronaldo, CR7 is like a, not of Ronaldo though, but CR7 is like a sponsor for a jersey now. I don't know the club though. You know the way the PSG has Air Jordan, CR7 is actually a sponsor for a jersey, and Garnacho was wearing the jersey and posted it, you know. So all these guys, they idolize him. I wonder if you play with him, if you're like starstruck. And I'm sure that's probably 100%. What affected these guys last season, 100%. 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, I think we talked about it last season. It
seem real to you.
Yeah. But from on the pitch issues to off the field issues, ETH was asked post game about why Sancho wasn't in the team sheet, and he had mentioned something about Sancho not training properly, or the energy Sancho gives during training wasn't up to par. That's why he was dropped. And there was a response from Sancho saying that that wasn't what happened, that he's given his all, that there are probably other reasons why he was dropped, and he doesn't think it's because of the way he was in training, but he will continue to fight for the badge. So what are your, I guess I'll start with Larry, what are your thoughts on, you know, the, I guess, back and forth between Sandro and ETH, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm. Can I flip this?
Yep.
Because you posted something this morning.
Yeah.
Can I get your own thoughts first?
Well,
based on the response that you gave.
I think once ETH put that out there, he opened himself up for a response. That's the way I look at it. Like, because ETH could have easily just said, oh, you know, either like he picked up a knock or like there are other reasons why. But when you question someone's like work ethic, I don't have any issues with Sancho responding to that, because that's the kind of narrative that, you know, catches on. And that's what fans start looking at. So I don't mind the fact that Sancho defended himself in terms of saying that, you know, I know there's some talks out there about, oh, this wouldn't fly under Fergie and all that. But I'm like, I remember last season when Ronaldo did that interview. I was one of the first people. I was like, I'm not mad at him doing the interview. I'm not, like, because maybe, again, it's because I'm probably used to this North American sports where the stars are usually more, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? They speak their mind more in this side of this part of the pond, right? Compared to like in actual football. So I had no issues with Sancho responding. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, but I 100% disagree with you.
Okay.
Number one.
Why do you disagree?
Sancho has not done anything in football to have the guts to even speak or anything. And number two, sure, you feel you have been disrespected in public, then maybe prove otherwise. I understand that you feel like you've been a scapegoat for you know, a long period of time, but I don't think that was the best way to handle it.
Okay, what do you think you should have done?
Not speak.
Yeah, but like, when someone is questioning your work ethic,
yeah, not but speak. A lot of coaches have done that. Pep was talking about De Bruyne the other time. De Bruyne was on feet. Pep even said his player came back and he was overweight.
Yeah, I remember Pep saying that, yeah.
Yeah. Ancelotti has said the same thing. Jürgen Klopp slated three players when they played Bayern Munich. He called them out by name. And then because he said you didn't perform to a standard in training, you come out and say what you said. If this is not really a Fergie thing, or like, I think a lot of coaches would, you know, cut you off from this.
I think I agree with you, but I guess what I'm just saying is I have no issues, because I think with Sancho, you have to also consider the fact that, like, it's been a lot going on around him. Like, I can understand, like, you'll be, like, it's just one of those things where, like, I feel like we bought Sancho without, like, an actual real plan for him.
Hey, wait. I feel like we defend that. If
no, I'm not.
Anthony, wait, hold on. Okay. Anthony in his first season has done more than Sancho has in his entire time at United. Anthony gets a lot more hate than Sancho does. I feel like we make a lot of excuses for Sancho and why he's not doing well, and we've gone through it. Like you said, a lot is happening around him. None of it is United's doing. He hasn't played well. If he's not the
kind of player... What position does Sancho play for us?
But that's part of the problem. What position has he played well?
No, but isn't that more of a coaching thing than it's the player? Like, if you...
No. It can't be a coaching thing if three coaches don't know where to play you.
But isn't that my point? We bought him without a plan. Well, then why did we buy him then?
No, you can't say without a plan. So every other player that is there, that are under ETH right now, did ETH buy them?
No, but...
Exactly. They were never part of ETH's plan, but ETH has been able to fit them into the team.
Mm. And so, for me, it's like, watch Sancho, actually, right? Like, when we watched him last season, you're not watching a player that you're looking... Like, Lindelof is somebody that you can be like, okay, he's not playing because he has two people ahead of him that are playing well. But when he comes on, he actually does a good job. It's like with Sancho, I just feel like I don't even know what a good job looks like for you anymore. Who are you? Like, what is your game? You don't dribble, okay. Your 1-2 is okay. Like, are you an assist provider? Like, we've tried you in multiple positions. This man tried you in number 10, tried you as a false nine. We know if you play on the right, you don't quite have the pace. You don't dribble. So what is a good game for you? Right? And for me, it's like, at some point, maybe you are just not that guy. And again, like, transfers don't work out sometimes. But I also don't feel like, oh, this is because the club needs to have a plan for you as a winger. You were signed for 80 million. You were signed for as much as we signed Anthony. So, and we chased you for a couple of summers because on the world level, people said you were talented. So if you're talented, a lot of times you have to at least figure out what your game is. For me, I feel like maybe he wants to be done at United and go somewhere more quiet and, you know, figure that out. But I feel like when you answer this way, you are prepared for every outcome, including never coming back into the team. And if you make that decision at least, and you know that that's the decision you're making, then I think you can make a response like this. But I think
anyways, it's not like he's playing now. Anyways, like, yeah, what does he have to lose? It's, yeah, so, he's not playing. I mean, like, he's not getting playing time. Like, so, what is it going to do? Like, not playing?
No, no, he has nothing to lose individually. Yes, but you're part of the squad. You're part of the team. You don't
easy. It doesn't feel like. Well, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think he would. If you put yourself in that position, you wouldn't really feel part of the team too.
I understand that, but it feels a little bit selfish though now, because you understand the magnitude of the club that you're in, and every detail you put out there is going to be scrutinized. So why would you want to put your entire club under this pressure or under this much pressure? Like, you can handle things in a different way. You can handle things totally differently. And to be fair, I've actually read a few things between yesterday and today. Sancho has been criticized for this similar stuff when he was in Dortmund. And he released this, and it was actually The Athletic. He released the same thing, maybe a little bit more subdued, but the phrase scapegoat was in the sentence as well. So I don't know if this is a trend for him or something like that. If you're ready to cut ties, my own is, I think United should support the manager in this case from the beginning to the end. Because if it goes otherwise, then ETH has
a wins going to
we'll support whatever the manager wants to do in this situation, they should support it.
Oh, okay.
I agree with you. Yeah.
They should support it, because it should not go back to a situation what we had with Mourinho and Pogba and Luke Shaw. You know how Mourinho always targeted Luke Shaw in the media? Luke Shaw never for once released any comment or said anything. It was until after Mourinho left, then he said, you know, things, but in a more coded way. Like, you know, some managers didn't work out with them. I'm ready for a new start. Da 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 da. Done. With Pogba, he had the virus issue. Da 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 da. Pogba, I mean, you can say Pogba won to an extent because Mourinho left the club before Pogba. But in this case, if that happens again, then these players would always have the power, and it's not going to be good for United.
No, I don't see a situation in this. I think what you're describing is more like, if it's Bruno, Sancho, bro, this guy, like, if Saudi would take himself, I feel like they might send him to Saudi. This one that we've kept, Pelestri, and Ahmad is going to come back at some point in the future. Yeah, I think Sancho might find himself surplus to requirements. Which is
it? Yeah, no, I think I agree with you there. Like, he's not playing anyways, which is why I had no issues with him saying what he said. Like, he's not really, I don't think he's factored into the team anyway this season so far, besides like the few cameos playing false nine.
Man, Sancho should shut up. Like, what of Maguire? Do you know how much scrutiny Maguire has gone under in the past 4 years? He has been the real scapegoat from fans, from coaches, from everybody. Has Maguire for once said anything? He, look at the way Maguire is playing his own cards. Okay, if you guys want me to leave this club, you pay me 12 million. That's how he's doing his own. You know, someone that was captain, they removed the captain from him. And he didn't say anything. It's you, Sancho. You've not done anything in your career. Southgate didn't even pick you. I mean, Southgate is a useless coach anyways. But he didn't even pick you for the same training reasons.
Really?
Yes.
Are you sure? I don't think it's Southgate said that.
No, he didn't say it, but it's in the Athletic. Okay. And they said the reason is because of the information they are getting from training. Guy, we had Ole. Ole didn't really know what to do with you. We had Ragnik. Ragnik, obviously, he doesn't even know what to do with himself, not to talk of you. Then we had ETH, and they are trying to figure you out. So, guy, it gets to a point where it's like, you have to look at yourself in the mirror, my G.
Yeah, he's not the kind of... Anyway, but I think to come back to this, do you think this undermines ETH, either in the eyes of the media, with the players themselves? I don't think with the club as much, but do you think this undermines them? And if you think so, in what ways do you think it will begin to reveal itself?
Me personally, I don't think it undermines him. Like, my only point here is, like, if me personally, if you're questioning my work ethic, I feel like I should be able to defend that, you know, and then we'll go on from there. Like, I don't think it should undermine anything ECH is doing or saying going forward, even with the media, because like you said, it's Sancho. Sancho doesn't play enough games for it to actually, like, matter, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but it's also coming off the back of a loss. You know, and there's a lot that is happening all at once. Like, if you look at some of the questioning that the media had for him this week about Greenwood, for example, and then obviously we have the transfers that did not quite go over the line. That we lost, you know.
The transfer piece is not on ETH. I think we've talked about all this. Like, ETH is not the guy signing. Like, it might give them list, but it's not the one signing the players, though. Like, so when it comes to
the transfer, yeah, but I don't blame ETH. I'm only talking about the ones that we didn't sell. So, again, players like Maguire now, players like Sancho, you know,
Yeah. Again, to me, that's not on ETH. That's on the team as the organization as a whole. Mm-hmm. I think the questions about tactics are probably more inept for him to answer than transfer, because ETH is not out there trying to sell players. It might say this is who I want to leave, but it's not negotiating with clubs.
I think, Maestro, to answer your question, I think it might have an impact depending on how ETH handles it. And based on the experience of ETH handling things like this, with the way you handled Cristiano Ronaldo, handled someone else, I can't remember who else, maybe Maguire to an extent, I think he has the capacity to handle it, but the club has to support him in it. If the club doesn't, then he gives other players that feel the same way, it sets a precedence for them to do something similar, and then ETH loses control. So I think ETH will handle this the way he best knows how, and the club has to fully support him in whatever he wants to do. Because I know ETH is not going to... Knowing his history, it has happened in Ajax to one other guy that he told to come on, and the guy said he's not coming on. And in 2 months, the guy left the club, like they scattered his contract or whatever. So something similar has to happen. He has to be, if you degrade me or, you know, disrespect me, my authority in public, your punishment has to be in public too. And I think that's what ETH would have to do, unless they have some clear the air talks and they realign. But I don't think ETH is that guy. I think if you cross the line with him,
and I don't feel like it was a mistake. Like, if you think about why he would do something like this.
Who's he? Sancho?
No, ETH. I don't feel like any of it was a mistake. So in terms of the response that I imagine he was looking for, this is not it. Do you get? Like, I don't think leaving Sancho out of the
squad was a mistake. You get what I mean? Like that he's sending you a message. And then so when he gets the question, because as soon as I didn't see Sancho, I just had bad vibes. I just felt like something was off. Because there wasn't I just didn't hear anything about an injury or anything. So I just thought that's kind of odd that Sancho is in there. And so you anticipate you're going to get that question because your bench is not looking super strong and then you don't include this person. So for me, it's like, and I don't feel like ETH is the, based on what he's shown so far, I don't feel like he's the kind of person that would have left Sancho out without explaining why he's leaving him out.
I don't know if you remember on one of the pods, I think it was after Chelsea's game last season at Stamford Bridge, where they removed Sancho 60th minute. And then from my sources, I got that Sancho, there was a rift between Sancho and ETH. And I mentioned that. I don't know if you guys remember. And then shortly after, Sancho was gone for like 3 months. You know, I can't really comment on if it was, you know, the whole mental health thing and da-da-da-da-da. But I know that, I have a strong feeling that the relationship between Sancho and ETH has not been the same since then. And some of it is coming out now. Because if you even look at the interview yesterday, they first asked him about Scott McTominay. They asked him about the two players. Scott McTominay and Sancho. The first answer he gave was for Scott McTominay, and he said, "No, McTominay is ill." Then when he was about to answer for Sancho, you could see from his eyes, he was blinking, looking down, looking at the mic. He was like, he was thinking of what to say quickly. And then he said what he said. Plus his language barrier thing where he was a little bit stammering and whatnot. But then he said it, like, he said it like, okay, you know what, let's play this game. And he just threw it out there. So I think he's planning for something, trying to push him publicly, because ETH is not the guy that would publicly shame you. He would publicly defend you and then do what he has to do behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell with every player United, with Maguire, he always says Maguire is part of my squad. But I know inside the dressing room, in the management meetings, he's not saying Maguire is part of my squad. He's saying that, get this guy out of here. So for ETH to have come out to have said something like that, I think he's either fed up or Sancho has done something that that has pushed him to the extent where now he's playing a different card and the club has to do something. Are you guys there?
Yeah. Sorry, there was a fire drill going on. I was wondering if you guys could hear that. Well, I guess my discounts there worked.
Nah.
Yeah. But anyways, it's Sancho. Like I think the bottom line is that he hasn't just played enough to really impact, or I guess some of you think to warrant like him responding, but I don't think it's gonna change ETH plans for him. Like, I feel like we should have sold him anyways, like, because I don't think we have plans for him in this team.
I felt like he could have been a player that contributed, because again, it's been.
But does he want that though? I think someone like Sancho probably wants to play more regularly than contribute.
Yeah, but I think someone like Sancho should just want to play well first, because the reason why he's not playing well isn't because he hasn't been given chances to play. He's played, like, he's gotten opportunities to play. He's just not starting now. Like, if you think about most of last season, if it was fit, Garnacho wasn't somebody that he wanted to give that kind of game time to all the time. So Sancho was more. But right now, Garnacho has already surpassed Sancho. And nobody talks about, like, having a plan for Garnacho is the reason why he's doing well. Nah, he's just better. He's just better. And he's not even, like, at a level yet where we can even say he's like scratching the surface. But in the short time that we've seen him, he doesn't need any favors.
And it feels like Sancho needs all the favors that he can use. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. We don't have our next game is on the 19th of September, just right after the international break. So I guess we have about a week and a half off from soccer. Anything else you guys want to cover before we wrap this spot up? I think we've covered almost everything.
We'll see how things play out with Anthony. I made new reports that feel like we've heard before. And speaking of feeling like we've heard it before, Greenwood is now officially in Hatafe. We're still paying his wages, by the way. And he's still coming back at the end of the season. So there might be another... I don't know. The way United has played this whole thing and the way they keep playing it, I don't... There's
it's
a break clause for January.
It's Prime United. That's where they've answered it.
There's a break clause for January in the loan deal.
It's either they know what they are doing or they don't know what they are doing. And I'm leaning towards they don't know what they are doing.
Yeah, I'll go with the latter.
If they don't know what they are doing, this is gross mismanagement, man. Gross mismanagement. Like, incompetence of the highest of levels here. Like, nah, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. I don't... Yeah, anyway, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Ah, man, we really need to get rid of this club and get this into competent hands that will change the management structure, because this just screams a lot of pussies in management. Like, people that don't have the balls to, number one, think the right way, and number two, make the right decisions. Like, there's nothing right about that club.
I feel like we didn't talk about this, but apparently, well, there have been some conflicting reports, I guess, in the last week or so about whether or not the Glazers actually want to still sell, or if they are going to hold on to.
I don't want to talk about this.
When they say they sell, man, like, I'm tired. Like, all this talk about if they wouldn't they? Like, it's obvious, like, they don't want to sell. Because if you want to sell, someone offered you sell. What was the last bid by the Sheikh? Like, I don't know how much more money you want to get.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one, man.
Okay. I don't know. If they sell, they sell. If they don't, you know, we'll still be here next year. We'll see. Anyways, it's a long weekend today, so did you guys do anything for the weekend? Let's just wrap that up with how you guys' weekend was.
I didn't go back from Toronto, so I'm...
Larry, did you go for the Cabana
thing? No.
Sugar cane.
Cabana thing?
No, sugar cane.
Nah, not at all. I just came home.
When he said sugarcane thing, I just remembered Ola's message last night. Anyways, that brings us to the end of this podcast. Please follow us on socials at WhatWillFergieDo on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Also, rate and review us. You can do that on Spotify as well. 5 stars only. Anything less than 5 stars.
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah, I know the vibe. You know, man.